Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. And none of my colleagues are here. My C.J. O'Shea or Mikey McCarthy, you know, my Irish friends. But I brought a good Puerto Rican friend of mine with me tonight, Ramon Baez. Ramon, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Drew. How are you today?
I'm doing great. And so Ramon is in town for our after tax season golf tournament. And Ramon's a good friend of mine, and we've known each other for 20 years. How did we really first met? When we went to Poland together. And how do you live a godly life and try to balance being a businessman or, you know, a professional in a company, et cetera, right?
Absolutely. I mean, what impressed me about you, what impressed me about you back then, Drew, was how you talked about the currency, how God uses the word as the currency of love. And it just blew me away. So I was so glad to meet you then.
Ramon is a IT specialist and the former CIO, Chief Information Officer, for Kimberly-Clark and Hewlett-Packard. So, I mean, that's about as high level of his professional career anybody could climb to. If you're a Chief Information Officer, to be the Chief Information Officer of Kimberly-Clark and Hewlett-Packard, that's pretty high up. So you had a great career, my friend, and you're retired young. Not like me. I'm going to have to work until I'm 80.
Well, you're going to work till you're 80 because you like to work.
There is a difference there, my friend. That is true. So anyway, we're on an open show, and I'm going to take any questions you want to ask about personal finances. And Ramon will deal with if you want to ask any questions about cybersecurity. And that's, in my opinion, Ramon, it's probably one of the foremost issues that my clients should understand, because cybersecurity can literally wipe you out financially if you're not careful.
Oh, absolutely. It's all about data hygiene, right? You practice good data hygiene. You do the right things as far as keeping your computer up to date when it comes to all
of
those.
Ramon, I can't tell you how many clients I have with 10 to 15-year-old computers, and they're unwilling to spend $400 or $500 to buy a new one.
Yeah, that's not
it drives me crazy.
That's not a good idea.
It drives me crazy. I'm like, it's $500. Aren't they about, you know, a nice little computer for the average person is about $500, $600,
$700. Yeah, it is. I have much more expensive
ones. Of course, I know you got to. Knowing what you do, it's ridiculously expensive, you know. So, but, you know, the average person could buy a nice little computer for $500, $600, $700 and do everything. Most people, all they do is surf the web and do email, right?
And some financials and things like
yeah,
that.
I understand, but the average person out there is really just surfing the web, doing apps and things of that sort.
Right.
And actually, most people should be able to get away with an iPad if they wanted to.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Correct.
And would you say Apple iPads and things are safer for the average Joe than a Windows operating laptop computer from a cyber point of view?
I believe so. You know, the reason Microsoft got hit so bad, that operating system, they were such a big target for such a long time that the bad guys would love to be able to just, you know, get them every time they could. Actually, they're getting really, really good now.
Yeah.
Right. They are staying on top of things. If you notice your iPhone, you're getting updates constantly.
Because they're after Apple.
Correct.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. So Apple's got to be on their toes now, too.
Yeah, they're huge.
So,
I mean,
anyway, we're on an open show tonight. If you want to call and ask any question about personal finances, be it IRAs or Roth or income tax laws or estate planning or retirement planning or 401ks or anything of that sort, as we always do each week, answer your questions. You can call in at 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question. Always the people who call in early, they get the most time. So, you know, if you're interested, you got a question, you say, you know, if you could answer this for me, This would really make it very beneficial to sit here and listen to you. So you call in and ask the question that you want, 410-922-6680. And if you want to ask Ramon a question, I'm telling you, this is one of the top IT people in the United States of America. I mean, he speaks at a lot of the conferences for, you know, technology and so forth. And if you have a cybersecurity question, Ramon is here to answer that question for you. He just flew in from Idaho just to talk to you about your cybersecurity questions also. And Chris, just for you, I'm putting my glasses on so I can read the people's names that are calling in. So if you want to call in, 410-922-6680 if you want to ask a question. And while he gets that up on the screen for me there, well, there he goes. Hold on a second. Jay in Pasadena, how can I help you?
Hi, Drew.
How you doing?
All right.
Good.
I heard you talk earlier today that you are going to Florida.
Yep, I'm going to be moving on Saturday full-time to Florida. I've already, when I was there in February for a couple weeks, I got my Florida driver's license, and I intend to work eight months of the year in Florida. And I've moved my residency and my domicile and my heart have all moved to Florida.
Okay, well, that sounds like a good plan. I have a similar situation. I retire next week. We purchased a home down there in March. My wife is already down there. And we'll be selling the house up here. And what kind of advice can you give me? I know that I have to be down there six months and
well, you're selling the house, right? So you're going to have you're going to have any home in Maryland?
No.
Oh, well, then you don't have anything to worry about, my friend.
Okay.
I mean, if you sell your place completely and you have no legal residence in Maryland, then you have no risk whatsoever. So you're good to go.
Okay.
You know, you don't have anything. Now, myself, I still have a condo here. I still have a business here. And I'm going to have to pay you lots of Maryland taxes on my business and on whenever I'm up here working and physically in Maryland working. But I'm going to be establishing a new base of clients and a new location for the company as part of the strategy of our firm long term. And that's why they're sending me down there to do this. So, you know, it's a win-win for my company, but that's, you know, what I have to do. Your situation, you're totally disengaging from Maryland, even not having a residence at all. You're good to go, my friend.
Okay, great.
All right.
What part of Florida?
I'm in Amelia at the very top, just across the Georgia border over toward the Atlantic Ocean.
Okay. All right, I'm on the exact opposite side. I'm in, it's called Hudson.
Is that near Pensacola area?
Well, I'm about 30 miles north of Tampa.
Okay, that's great. I love that area. Homosassa's not too far away.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Crystal River, one of my favorite places.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
If you ever get a chance to go to Crystal River, it is a crystal river. You can see 100 feet down.
Yep. My wife was there last weekend with her nephew.
Yeah, all the manatees coming in now. All right, Jay, I got to run. I got to do traffic right now. We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
It's probably either that one or that one. You take the choice. I mean, that's an easy one. Come on. Simon and Garfunkel, you know what I mean? Come on. You didn't think I knew that. He doesn't think I knew. Did you know that?
It was Simon and Garfunkel?
Yeah.
I knew it was Simon and Garfunkel.
Well, but you see, he plays music. He doesn't think I know anything about music. And he doesn't think I could ever get... But, you know, I just tease the guy, you know, and he thinks I'm serious or something, you know? We'll see. You know, wait until the next one. We'll see what happens. I'm one for one right now. Anyway, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. Nobody's online. Nobody cares about me tonight. And if you want to call in, 410-922-6680, and we're here with Ramon Baez. Ramon is one of the top IT people in the United States of America, was the former CIO of Hewlett-Packard and Kimberly-Clark, and speaks at many of the big conferences throughout the country, consults with all kinds of different investment companies and corporations, and on the board of directors of at least two big companies in the United States of America. And so if you have a question on cybersecurity, Ramon's here to answer that. And Ramon actually did the same thing I did, but he moved out of California.
This is true.
Yeah, you just moved to Idaho, and you still own a house part of the year that you're there during the summer in, basically La Quinta, the desert.
I winter in La Quinta, and I summer in Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah, there you go. And then you dig for silver up there, right? You panhandle for silver and stuff, right? Is that why you went to Coeur d'Alene? No, you wanted to look over a gorgeous lake. In a gorgeous house.
On a gorgeous golf course.
On a gorgeous golf course. There you go. See, you know, we're on an open show tonight. If you want to give us a call, we got lines full now. I better put my glasses on. Ready, Ramon? We got to roll. We'll see what we're going to talk about. Keith in Severna Park, how can we help you?
Stephen, Drew, thanks for always for your help. I had a question about Social Security. My original plan, my wife is already drawing at 62. My plan was to wait till I was 70, and then she'll get half of mine, but... What I'm hearing on the news is that while the Social Security will not become insolvent, it may be only paying 80% at some point. Would it be better to take the Social Security earlier than 70, so we're both, you know, getting a better amount, or just, I know it increases 8% a year, but if you're losing 20%, is it better to take it early?
See, my personal opinion is that all the hype they give you, you know, let me give you an example, okay? They told us over and over and over again that Medicare was going to be bankrupt in 2012. Okay? Then they turned around and said, no, it's going to be bankrupt in 2016. And then they turned around and said, no, it was going to be bankrupt in 2018. And now they don't even talk about it anymore. So what happened? And my point is, here's the point. Is that, yeah, they're all, you know, people love to do these hype articles to try to encourage you to read and understand what they're saying, because that's how they make money. When you come and you click on an article and read it, or when you go and watch a television show and an advertisement comes up, et cetera, that's how they make money. And so they hype these articles. But here's my point. My point is that, yeah, if they don't do anything, it's going to go down to 80%. What politician is going to want to be in office that says, hey, all you people that vote for me, you're going to get a 20% reduction in your Social Security check. So you all just vote for me because I'm protecting the system. That's not how they're going to do it, Keith. They're going to come up with a way to secure Social Security. And I always tell people, always remember, the federal government prints the money that Social Security pays out to people. So I don't expect it to go down. And I would wait until I'm 70, because you get that large increase. And if for any reason they did drop it by 20%, wouldn't you rather have your 70 Social Security check go down 20% than your 66 age Social Security check go down by 20%? I think I'd rather the latter. All right?
Appreciate the advice. Thank you.
All right. Take care. You know, I hate all the hype they put out on this kind of stuff. You know, Arnold in, you know, Arnold, if you live just a little further down the street, I could say Arnold from Arnold.
Yeah, I used to be Arnold. That's the radio name, actually. Like your last caller, I'm here in Severna Park. But looking to relocate to Florida on a part-time, but as much part-time basis as I can to avoid the Maryland confiscatory taxes to feed liberals and things like that.
Okay. So, you have to be very thoughtful about it, and you got to be very exact, okay? You must bring your heart to Florida. You must bring and live your life down in Florida. Florida's your life. The only reason you're going to come back to Maryland is for an occasional, you know, like I come back. I'm going to come back for tax season next year. I'm going to come back to work and things like that. That's about it.
Yeah, the way my father did it years ago was, I know it's 6 months and a day.
Oh, he did 6 months and a day is not the rule. You know, no. I mean, it's a part of something that they'll look at, but it's not the rule. But go ahead.
Yeah, what he would do is he would go down day after Labor Day and stay down there until about Thanksgiving, come back up through the holiday season, then go back down there and come back, like you said, right in time for tax day and spend the summer up here. And I'm kind of looking to kind of emulate that. I think the only thing that was maybe a little complicated is he had to put the house up here in my mother's name because she remained up here while he was down there.
Let me tell you something. When your father did this, the states weren't nearly as aggressive on it. The states are
far. In the 1990s.
I'm talking 2015 on. All started to change big time. Ramon will tell you, California is not going to just easily give up on him. Maryland's not going to easily give up on me, you know. So you better make sure that you have very good advice as to how you do this. You got to vote down there. You got to get your driver's license down there. You got to live down there. You got to take everything down there. New York, you ready for this? New York got a guy and won the case against him. He was 9 to 10 months in Texas every year. But you know what New York won the case on? Even though he was only in New York for 2 months, they collected full years of tax on him because he didn't bring his dog Buddy down to Texas with him. And he wrote an email that New York used against him and said, now, after I've been here for this long, about a year and a half, he says, now it's time to bring Buddy down. And what he proved when he said that was New York was still where my heart was. And that's why New York said, you still owe us taxes then.
Well, the thing is with New York is basically there's an unwritten rule there that all people retirement age that can afford to do it must retire down to Boca Raton. and stuff like that. So that's what it's the sixth borough down there.
All right, Arnold from Arnold. I got to run. You good question, though, okay? Let's see. What do you think, Chris? I got not much time left. Are you sure? Look at him. Rebecca in Pennsylvania wants to talk to Ramon. Rebecca, how can we help you?
Yeah, hi. I have an older computer, but I just yesterday updated and had an update for Windows 10. So do I still need a computer if I'm updating it correctly?
Well, if your machine is operating at full efficiency or effectiveness. So, for example, if you put Windows 10 and you're able to key in and everything works nice and smooth, you're probably fine. It's when the system starts degrading. In other words, you're keying in things and your fingers are a lot faster than what you're seeing on the screen. That means the processor, the motherboard, all those good things are not able to handle the operating system.
Okay, it's also very important to do a backup too, isn't it?
Absolutely. If you can back, I like to back up into the cloud. So I literally back up into the two areas on the cloud, and I actually back up on a separate hard drive.
So what cloud service do you use for personal use? If you were just a general Joe wants to keep, you know, what, a gig or two or three?
Yeah, I use Google Cloud.
Google Cloud?
Yeah. It's easy to use.
Relatively free, easy.
Right. And then I use Microsoft's, what is it called?
Azure?
No, no, not Azure.
Edge?
Not Edge. I use Microsoft, what is it called? Business One, OneNote or something
OneNote.
Like that, where I store all my documents. So yeah. I have them in both places, Microsoft and Google, and then I have a Seagate hard drive, separate hard drive.
Wow. There you go, Rebecca.
Okay. Well, you know what was weird? Because I was getting these notifications, and I called up somebody, and I said, should I click on these notifications of getting this update? And most of the people said no. But finally, I went on my email, and it popped up. And I said, all right, I'll just do it. And the worst thing is I'll have to, like, erase it and punish my computer and start over again. Because she's right. That's all I use is, like, for surfing the Internet and doing email.
Right.
So when I did that, that was from Microsoft. It's very hard to tell when these updates and these notifications are really from Windows. And maybe you can give me a hint on that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Truly coming from Microsoft, you're going to have a Microsoft domain name and things like that. But you're right.
You should have auto updates on that. The computer just picks it up automatically Microsoft.
Which sounds like she updated the operating system.
Yeah.
From
okay.
Windows 7 to Windows 10.
Right. Yeah.
That was a while ago that happened. That happened about 2 years ago. I did that.
Yeah. But as Drew said, I have mine on auto update. I never get a notification. It just doesn't.
Oh, well, maybe.
All right, Rebecca.
Okay, thank you.
Good call. I got to go to traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBS.
I love the Temptations. There you go. Two for two. I got to go, Chris. Jim in Ellicott City, how can I help you?
I'm curious about the federal estate tax exemption.
Yep.
Okay, so during your lifetime, certainly you don't have to wait until you die to get impacted by it. You can always gift to whoever you want while
Correct.
You're living if you file the appropriate
gift tax
IRS
return
tax form.
Right.
Okay, so the current president, there's been rumors he's been floating around about dropping the current 11¾ million tax exemption under the Trump tax cut, which sunsets, I believe, in 2025. He's thinking about maybe cutting it to 3.5 million. So say this year you gave some money.
So that's one of the cool things that Trump did, Jim. He put it into the law, and the Republicans put it in the law that there's no clawback. So in other words, if you happen to be worth $30 million, and we actually have a client like this, and he's given away $11 million to his children,
okay,
and even if they drop it down to 3.5 million, his $11 million stands tax free forever.
Okay, that's what I was wondering about. A second quick question: can you give mutual fund shares in kind as part of a gift, as you can with charities?
Sure. Do you mean just to a family member or something?
Yes, rather than
but you don't
shares to realize the cash and then in turn gifting the cash.
Yeah, so you would only do that if your family member was in a lower capital gains tax bracket than you are.
Yes.
So in other words, if I'm in the 23.8% tax bracket and my parents are in a 0% capital gains rate bracket and I want to support them, I would give them capital appreciated stock. They would sell it tax free and they would have the cash. And that's a great strategy we use all the time.
So the step up basis, there's also talk by President Biden about.
But he's saying that you get $1 million you can allocate to if he eliminates the step up. You'd be able to allocate $1 million. After that, it's no step up.
Okay. So this year, if I was to gift some shares to a family.
Well, keep in mind, gifting the shares always goes with your cost basis.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. But the person receiving them doesn't owe any taxes until he or she
That is correct.
Sells them.
That is correct.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
All right, Jim. Yep. Good question. Very good question. We're going to Mark in Florida. Mark, how can we help you?
Super, Drew. How are you?
Good. And where in Florida are you?
Sarasota.
Sarasota. I go there quite often, see a friend of mine down there. He was a former IRS commissioner and neat guy. I love Sarasota.
Well, my question is, we have Fios Internet, and debating on getting a VPN just because of the security issues, because everybody down there is sticking their finger in your balloon. And I'm wondering, I'm looking for a decent one that's not going to cost me an arm and a leg.
That's a really good question. I personally do not use a VPN in my personal world. When I was working at Hewlett-Packard or Kimberly-Clark, we all had VPNs, and we used Cisco VPNs, and we used, a matter of fact, I think if you go with, Symantec, I think they have a decent VPN that you can use that doesn't cost very much.
Okay, what about cloud services? I use an Apple computer, and I have the Apple Cloud, and the cloud baffles my brain. I don't understand it.
Just think of it as it's a data center on their premises. That's what you think about it. And it does things differently than if you owned it. In other words, you're not maintaining all the hardware. But
okay, well, who has access to it and who can mine it? That's the part about the cloud that really bothers.
Well, I will tell you, we've researched this at multiple companies, and these companies do a phenomenal job in protecting their clouds, because if they don't, they're out of business. And there's no way you and I can do the security that they do in our own world.
No doubt.
Okay.
So NordVPN?
Yeah.
Somebody called in, said NordVPN 360 protection is a good package, and I agree. Norton's a good company.
Right.
All right. Good question there, Mark. Good question. We're going to Mike in Towson. Mike, how can we help you?
Hey, Drew. So I've got an IRA, $39,000, that's just sitting, and I want to play around with it and invest in some stocks. It's a very small part of my portfolio. I'm currently not working, so I want to play around with this money. I was thinking about converting it to a Roth IRA, but then I'm concerned about the tax implication of it. Looks like my bracket is the one that's under $81,000 for filing jointly.
Right. That would be 12%.
12%. And so this $39,000 could put me near the next, either near or into the next tier, which is a 22% tax rate, from what I understand. So my question is, if this conversion keeps me below that threshold and in the 12% rate, does it make sense to do this? I'm 63 years old, and I was thinking about the benefits of the Roth for this chunk of money.
Well, the question you have to think about is what do you think your tax bracket's going to be in the future? And that's the key. So if you think your tax bracket's always going to be 12%, then sticking in the 12% bracket's going to be important. But if you think you're going to be in the 22% bracket or higher, then it doesn't matter if you go into. And here I want to teach our listeners a little lesson about tax brackets. And this was a light bulb moment to me because I'm a CPA, so I understand how tax brackets work. And you probably know this too, Mike, but most people think that when you go from the 12% bracket into the 22% bracket, that all of a sudden all of your income becomes taxed at 22% instead of 12%. That's not how tax brackets work.
Everybody's just the difference, right?
Yeah, everybody starts off in the 10% bracket, and then when you get to that next number, it's like 19,000, you go into the 12% bracket, and now the money over 19,000 hits 12%. And then when you get over $81,000, the money over $81,000 is taxed at 22%. And, so you should never worry about going into the next tax bracket. No problem with going into another tax bracket. What you really want to think about is when you can control whether your income is going to go into that bracket or not, as to whether it's beneficial to you. And what my question to you is, Mike, is if you think you're going to be in a 22% bracket most of your life, then do the conversion and pay the 22%, because we know for a fact in 2026 the rates are going to go back to at least 25%, and Golden Joe is not likely to keep it any lower than 25%.
Yeah, I think this is going to be my 2021 will be my last year of being in that 12% bracket. And
well, then you should go ahead and convert and take the whole whatever you get in the 12, great. The rest goes into 22, okay. If you got the cash to pay the taxes, that's the key. So you'll need about $5,000 or $6,000. And the only other thing that I would say is if you have plans of moving out of Maryland in the next 4 or 5 years, then I would be cautious about doing much more than the 12% bracket, because then you know that you'll be eliminate 8.5% in the not too distant future of state income tax. But if you intend to be here for quite a while, then do it all. All right.
All right. Could I ask one additional question regarding all this?
Yep.
I have mutual funds that always send me the capital gains distributions, tax paperwork that I've got to pay taxes on. That doesn't bump up my taxable income, in that 12% bracket. That's treated differently, right?
No.
Capital gains from mutual funds.
No, it does. It does go. It does get taxed. So
I know it's taxed.
Well, but you see, the way it works is that so let's say I have $100,000 of income, okay? So the capital gains are always taxed first. So if your capital gains are $20,000 and the rest is so then the capital gains will be taxed from 100 to 80, and that'll be at the 15% rate, and then the next 80 will be taxed at ordinary tax rates at the 12% and 10% tax bracket. So you take your capital gains and you tax them at your capital gain rate first, and then when you eliminate your capital gains and dividends, then you figure out what tax bracket the rest of that money is in. Am I making myself sort of clear?
Yeah, but it sounds like capital gains distributions are treated separately than income, ordinary income.
Not. You and I may be saying the same thing. So let's say your mutual funds divvy out $10,000 of capital gains and $5,000 of dividends, and your total income's $100,000. So because capital gains are taxed first at wherever they are, whatever rate they're at, then the first $15,000 would be taxed the 15% tax bracket instead of 22 on that $100,000. The next five will be taxed at the 22% bracket because that's now ordinary income. And then everything else will be taxed at the 12% until you get down to the 10% rate. So that's how you have to think about it in your mind.
Yeah, it's a little complex, but I think I understand that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, buddy.
Thank you.
Good question. We got to go to traffic. We'll be right back with Money, Riches, and Wealth. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now
back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Three for three, the Eagles. There you go. Anyway, so we got callers here, Chris. I don't have time to fool with you on these things, you know? You know, we would have a lot more callers if you wouldn't waste my time on the radio, Chris. Sean on the Eastern Shore, how can I help you?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Make it quick. I'll try to. I'm within striking distance of retirement, say 5-6 years. I own a home, primary home now on the Eastern Shore. We bought a place in Delaware to retire there as a resident. My question to you, if I keep my Maryland home, and that means I lose my homestead, what can I expect on property taxes? What are the penalties of Maryland, do you know?
It's not going to be horrible, you know, if you don't have the homestead credit. What the difference is the way they can raise the property taxes in the future. So that's the bigger difference. It's not like you're going to get, you know, like a bill for, you know, $50,000 on your place in Maryland when you lose that. It's just how fast they can raise the taxes on it and so forth.
Okay. So I mean, right now I'm only paying like, you know, $4,000 a year in property tax, which is nothing, Eastern Shore rates. But if I lose a homestead, I guess it won't change that much, is what you're saying.
No, I wouldn't expect it to be. But, the acceleration of how fast they can increase the tax on it becomes different when you no longer have a homestead tax credit on it. But you would want to move that to Delaware, because if you get the Delaware homestead credit, you know, ultimately your rates could be ridiculously cheap, you know?
Right. Well, the overall cost of living, as we all know, Delaware, that's the target. That's the goal to retire there. So.
Yeah, well, you know, you just need to make sure you do it right. And you're right. One of the big things you have to do is give up your homestead credit in Maryland. You know, if you're going to say this is my domicile down in Delaware, you can't tell Maryland that this is your primary home. All right?
Right. Thank you, sir.
All right, buddy. Good call. And we're going to Tom in Forest Hill. Tom, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question. This year, my income is going to be reasonably high.
Okay.
Next year, it drops off considerably.
Okay.
And I have a bundle of capital gains that I was waiting until 2022 to unload. And I guess with the potential capital gains increase, I'm trying to figure out how separated my income is from the capital gains, and does it really matter?
So how high of income do you think you'll have this year? Is it over 400? Is it over 800? Is it over a million?
Yeah, I would qualify for the people you're talking about in your commercial.
Okay. How much in capital gain do you expect to have next year? Would it be like 20,000, 100,000, 500,000?
Yeah, several hundred thousand.
Several hundred thousand. And how much will your income be next year, do you think, with the gain? Will it be well over 500, well over a million?
My income will drop in half next year.
Okay. So, you know, first off, the first thing you have to think about is that all the bragging that Joe does and talking that he does, somebody said it. I read it in the Wall Street Journal just before the show, Ramon, and he said, the voters of America voted for arrest from Trump's, whatever you want to call it. They voted for arrest. They didn't vote for a revolution. And Joe's in office like he's got a mandate for a revolution. And, so my point is that don't assume that he's going to get all the garbage through that he says he's going to get through. Now, you say, well, he just got that one through real quick. Look, anytime you're going to give out $2,800 to everybody and another $1,400 for every one of their kids, there aren't going to be many Americans that aren't going to say, yeah, that's a really good idea. You know? But when you start telling them you're going to start taxing them, even if you're not even taxing them, you're going to tax somebody else supposedly. It's not that easy to get that through Congress when you don't control both houses. I mean, when you don't totally, completely have control. So don't assume that they're going to get this through, number one. And number two, if he sticks to his promise, you'd have to have over $1 million of income before his capital gains rate increase would be significant for capital gains. At least that's what he's been saying.
And are capital gains and income...
Yes.
I know you hit a point where it goes from 0 to 15 to 20.
Right.
Does it really stop at 20?
Yes, it stops at 23.8 right now. That's the maximum it can be. So when your income's over like $480,000, you hit the 23.8% bracket on capital gains. Like I was trying to explain to the other caller, your capital gains are always taxed first on your income. So if I make wages of $400,000 and then I have a conversion of $100,000 and then I have a capital gain of $100,000, that means between $500 and $600 is all capital gain because that's the tail end. And therefore, whatever the tax rate is for capital gains on that $500 to $600, that's what I pay rate at, and it would be 23.8. And then I tax the next set of income at the 37% bracket, and then down to the 31, and so forth and so forth. So, yes, the rates right now, for 100 and something like 80,000, 23.8%. Now, whether you're Jeff Bezos and you sell every single stinking share of Amazon, you're going to pay 23.8% on it in federal tax.
Okay.
Now, if he passes his law that he talked about and your income's over $1 million and you have capital gains in there, now you're going to pay the full ordinary income tax rate plus Medicare, which would make it 43.4%. 43.4% is what he wants to tax it on if you have a capital gain in excess of $1 million.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
That helps a lot. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I can't predict what old Joe's going to do, but, I'm just hoping he makes it through the talk tonight, you know?
Is he not talking right now?
Is he talking tonight, right? Oh, they ought to bring him on at 4 o'clock because he's probably awake at 4 o'clock. Anyway, I shouldn't be like, that's not nice, and I should be nice. Anyway, Ramon, we're out of time. And it was great having you.
Well, thank you, Drew. I really appreciated being here.
I would not have been able to answer those questions that you answered for me.
I thought you did just quite well.
Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Yes, and show that people-